Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Soccer Thread Podcast. I'm Dan Schrader. I'm in Portland, Oregon. A little earlier in the day today, significantly less beer on the podcast. That's not going to stop me from telling you a beer story when we get back around to my part of the intro.
Ooh, teaser.
Be prepared. Little teaser. Everyone loves a beer story. Palmer is in Portland.
I am in Portland of the closet and in this podcast, so I am just happy to be here.
Can we get a Portland fire smoke update?
You know, it rained on Friday, and it was like, nice. I think the big joke was, you know, no one from Portland has ever asked for rain as much as they've been asking for rain the last week or so. So it was a very welcome sight to see some rain. And there was a big thunderstorm on Friday, early Friday morning, late Thursday night. I don't know. Actually took down a branch on a tree in our front yard. And thankfully it fell on nothing but sidewalk and yard. So
great tree placement.
Firewood, yep. Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
We're not doing fires right now, Colin. We're not doing fires.
Yeah. Too soon. Too soon. That was a proper Midwest thunderstorm. The house rattling kind of thunderstorm that nice. You just don't get out here very
beautiful.
Often.
Yeah. You just hear the dogs howling.
It was, oh man.
It was, usually what, living in the big city of PDX, you can late or early in the morning, you can hear the garbage trucks kind of moving those big metal garbage bins. Dumpsters. And that's what I thought was happening. But it kept happening. So I was like, what are they doing? And then I realized it was a big thunderstorm. So
Mike Samuelson is in Minneapolis.
Love it. Love it. I've been, you know, everyone needs a little something to keep them going. And for my family, it's watching the Great British Baking Show, aka the Great British Bake Off. And I think we're on season like 5 now. And for the first time, there's a Liverpudlian in there.
Oh, yes. It is a Scouser. Really been
Liverpudlian.
A beacon within beacons.
Oh, so good.
I basically only watch the show anyway to do accents. And so just been very, very excited.
Are they only making Scouse pies?
No. Unfortunately not. Not enough savory in Great British Baking Show, but it's still catnip for your boy.
Colin Smith is in the swamp.
Yeah, I've had a roller coaster. I had a roller coaster yesterday. I woke up, had a great morning, great run, great results from my favorite soccer teams in the Premier League. We'll get onto that, of course. But the day ended in a very strange and unsettling fashion. There was a little bit of a shots fired right outside my house in Swampscott, a mere feet from where I was sitting in the living room. So, you know, your boy's a little shook, and just a good reminder to keep your loved ones close. So,
should we just get right into the politics immediately about
let's get aggro about gun control, global
climate change, driving fires.
Yep, this section is brought to you by Scott Angove. Go, Colin, go. Get aggro.
I spent some time yesterday. I went, bought some beer yesterday. I have like a little mini beer fridge. It's actually, I'm pretty sure, the same fridge that I had in my college dorm room.
Nice.
Which,
beautiful.
Even at that time, I think was a hand-me-down. Like this little white.
The little fridge that could.
1.5 cubic foot fridge. You know the one.
You classy son of a bitch.
I was stacking the beer in there because I've over the years found the optimal stocking strategy.
Yeah.
Right? But the ice box had accumulated too much
frost.
Been there.
Yep.
So then I couldn't quite get the stacking right. It was messing everything up.
Fuck.
But I didn't want to like properly defrost it and everything. So I did what any true American would do and went out to the garage and grabbed my chisel and hammer. Thought I'd just chisel some of this ice away. It turns out, I hadn't realized in these little things, the cooling mechanism is actually part, like built into the ice box.
Oh, no.
So when you chisel the ice box, you puncture the refrigerant system of your refrigerator.
Yeah.
And get refrigerant spraying out into the room. So oh, be no. careful of that.
Yeah.
Which, this is a happy story, let me tell you. Because that immediately, it got me online, found a... larger fridge at Target just down the road. Zoom out. Within an hour, I've got a new fridge, not a hand-me-down.
Yes.
And the like fridge technology in the last, whatever it is, 15, 20 years, like for about the same size, the interior space, twice as much. So your boy is buying a lot of beer these days is what I'm telling you.
Lesson,
new fridge.
The lesson here is take a chisel to the current fridge sooner.
Can we have a moment of silence though for the old fridge?
Yeah, man,
served us well.
The Dick, things that has seen
a true warrior.
I got the new fridge. Get it out of the box. You know, you open it up, and it's got like little pieces of tape all over it to like hold the shelf in place and hold this in place and whatever. But on the ice box, the first like it's got a warning sign, and it says.
Do not chisel.
Thaw using mechanical. It does. It literally. Do not use mechanical implements to thaw. And I was like, "Well, thanks a lot.
That would have been useful." I feel like that fridge could kind of like the rings of a tree would show you how you have aged based off of what you've put in it. So you like really cheap, shitty beer to malt liquor only when you met your boy. to like classy Portland beer. A lot of Spotted Cow when you were in Madison.
Yeah, I think when we were in Madison, that was actually in the academic office, so it held mostly like moldy bread that stayed there for years at a time. Yeah, that fridge has been through a lot, and now it's sitting empty of refrigerant in my garage, and I'm trying to figure out if that can just get thrown away or I need to do something special with it. I'm not sure. But there you go. So got a new beer fridge in the Beaverton Podcast Studios. Anyone Amazing. Is welcome. As long as you've got that COVID vaccine, come on over.
Can't wait. Beautiful. I can't wait to see this fridge.
Oh, it's amazing.
Will we be posting some photos on Twitter of the new fridge?
You can if you want. We can absolutely do that.
This is the content the viewers need.
Yeah.
Listeners.
This real content that the listeners want is their Jewish holiday update. Mike, can you help us out?
Yeah. Shana Tova, motherfuckers. Happy 5781. 5780, I think we can all agree, was a shit year.
Yeah, man. Absolutely hopefully 5781 brings some better things.
5781. I don't know if it's looking up yet, but, you know, here's for hoping. happy Rosh Hashanah to everyone, Jewish New Year. For those of you not familiar with, you know, the Jewish faith and our high holy days, the time right after Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, is a time when you apologize to people who you've wronged over the past year. And, you know, I think it's important for us to do this as, you know, a very famous podcast. For us to apologize to people that we've wronged, you know, on the podcast, in the soccer world. So other than just a universal apology to Cliff for bad audio.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cliff.
Yeah, that's good.
Apples and honey to Cliff.
We also need to, we need to just also have a universal apology to the listeners for.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Bad content.
Yeah, exactly. Sullying their podcast lineup.
Yep. You deserve better. You won't get better, but you deserve better. So, yeah, you know, I think it's good for us to at least each of us apologize to one person. Does anyone want to go first?
I'll take it. Yes, Dan. Good. I need to think about how I'm going to properly apologize to this person.
All right. I've got a few. The first one is quick. Breck Shea scoring for a good Inter Miami team. We've been hard on you, Breck. I'm sorry. I hope things turn around for you. I hope you wear more Aladdin pants, and I hope you make weird, weird art. But my real one is Giovanni Savarese, who I think at this time last year, I was not so sold on. I'm not sure he was a great coach for the Timbers, but since then he's won us a tournament, a stupid, silly, meaningless tournament, but a tournament nonetheless. And he's taken the rest of the season to do a really nice job just integrating young guys and rotating the cast for the Timbers. And, you know, I think if I was going to draw it up, this is about how I draw it up. I just say, you know what? This season is silly. Who cares? Let's get Eric Williamson some minutes, and then he can be good next year. Let's get Obobese some goals so that he can be a goal-scoring striker instead of a non-goal-scoring striker. So, you know, Gio, I'd like to apologize. You've proven me wrong, and I hope that you could continue proving me wrong consistently.
Man, that's a good apology.
Until you don't anymore.
That is a great apology. I feel like I should apologize to Neil Warnock, but I can't figure out why I need to apologize to Neil Warnock. He's not done anything to make me feel sorry for him or sorry that I've railed against him. But I think I need to apologize to Jose Mourinho. I'm very hard on Jose. I realize that despite the fact that he loves to play head games and continues to play head games and probably is not the manager.
Please splice in head games into the podcast right now.
He is probably not the manager that he once was, and maybe he was never the manager that we all thought he was. But he's just doing his best. And so I apologize if I have hurt Jose's feelings, and I apologize that his best is just not that good. So I'm sorry, Jose. I'll be sending you some apples and honey and a present in the form of Gareth Bale, which I'm sure, you know, you'll ruin just like you've ruined all of your other players. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry that has happened. So there's my apology.
Felt like a little bit of a non-apology apology, but we don't have time to go deeper on that. So
that's not the apology Mourinho wants, but it's the apology Mourinho deserves.
Exactly. And it's also the apology he gets. So
that's very good.
Colin?
I mean, I actually, when the first syllable came out of Palmer's mouth, I thought he was stealing mine. I'd like to apologize to Josie Altidore.
That's a good one.
We're hard on Josie. Maybe because, you know, like Palmer's expectations of Mourinho, we wish that Josie, you know, he had a lot of promise when he was like 23, 24, bagging all these, maybe even a little later. Yeah, it's maybe about the right age, bagging all these goals in the Netherlands, and then kind of fell off, but still was like in a lot of ways, he's like a prototypical number nine. He's big and strong, and he's still got, you know, good feet, and he's got a good understanding of the game. And he just hasn't been the player that we thought he could be for the U.S. men's national team, right? And so we get mad at him and disappointed in him. And
injuries have been an issue.
Injuries have been an issue, yeah.
Yeah, major tournaments.
Major tournaments he's never, like, shown for us. And, you know, we put a lot on his back. And you know, he's just doing his best. But I think really the last, what has it been, maybe 2 or 3 months, he's really, maybe longer than that, he's really shown you know, the character of the man, and you know, we appreciate him now a lot more for that. I think as we get to understand him as a person better via his social media, we have a lot more respect and I would say admiration for him. And so Josie, sorry we were so kind of uncaringly hard on you. We know you're just a guy trying to do your best, and you know,
like
not
that.
Everyone is going to be able to be a top, you know, three all-time player for the national team. He's still probably a top 10 all-time net player for the national team. And we shouldn't be crucifying him for that.
Yeah. He's also constantly big upping like the younger players on social media.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is great to see.
That is a great apology.
Yep.
I second that apology.
I'm looking forward to seeing his house is going to have the same problem, or probably already does have the same problem that my house does, which is, will offspring be tennis players or soccer players? It's at about the same level between the Schrader household and the Altidore Stevens household. Be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep. A lot of people in the tennis and soccer worlds following both houses over the next.
Right. I mean, you know, can you imagine decades. If our best athletes played tennis? It'd be incredible.
LeBron playing tennis would just be unstoppable. Just going to say that right now. Man, that's a tough one to follow. Really, really good apology there. I'm going to do a dual apology to Weston McKennie and Christian Pulisic. I think I've doubted them in the past. And, you know, CP to God with his spring this year was incredible. Weston moving to Juventus, you know, probably top five clubs in the world, and appears to be firmly in the plans. You know, both of those guys still, I think, 22, and are, you know, doing things that just no other Americans have ever done. So in kind of a similar vein to Josie, you know, I kind of doubted them because as a true millennial, I wanted everything and I wanted it immediately. And good things, you know, they take time. And it's pretty incredible to see what those two guys are doing. So sorry, CP to God. Sorry, Wes. I love you. I was only being mean out of love, but it was wrong. And I need to love more. Love with love, not love with being mean.
What is it? Chagrincha? Chagrinch?
Chagrinch. You
know, Empathy's nuts has taken over Chagrinch's body.
5781 Chagrincha or whatever the name was.
I love it.
Weston McKennie was man of the match in a preseason game for Juventus recently, so you know it's on for him.
Yeah, there are some photos of him like joking with Ronaldo at Juventus training. It's just like incredible.
Oh man.
I mean, did I think at some point when we were like 60 that, you know, Americans would be joking with the best players in the world? Like, yes, but not so quickly. So it's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Well, may we all be inscribed in the book of life.
Absolutely.
Love you guys.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. And yeah, let's keep it moving in 5781.
Let's do it, baby. Emails, Mike, right back to you.
Boom. A couple emails. First is from Raymond Orozco. He says he listens to a lot of soccer podcasts and they do a lot of dumb awards and predictions. So he thought he'd come up with some more interesting awards. I love these names.
No soccer podcasts are doing apologies. So I just.
we're keeping it fresh. We're keeping it fresh over here on the Soccer Thread podcast. So the first award that he's made, I'll just kind of go through these. And if anything strikes you as someone who deserves these awards, just, you know, blurt them out. The first award is the John Terry Teammate of the Year Award. It can also be known as the John Harkes Teammate of the Year. I think we all know what that's for.
Yeah.
He also has the Luis Suarez Fair Play Award. This one could also be the Sergio Ramos Award.
I mean, that goes to Diego Costa every year, I feel like, if it's not either of those two. Diego Costa could probably have the John Terry Teammate of the Year Award as well.
Yeah, he's sweeping them up. The Arsene Wenger Special One Award that will be given to two managers who conduct themselves in such a gentlemanly nature on the sidelines during a match. I love this. I love like the interaction of two managers getting an award. And then the Bielsa Manager Award given to the manager who displays the gentleman British code of ethics. So, you know, we've got some player awards. We've got some manager awards. Any other awards that we should be giving out? I guess we could give out awards now, or we could just kind of put a pin in these and come back at the end of the year and give them out.
I like that.
Let's define the awards now and then give them out at the end of the year.
Right. I like the gentleman code of ethics award, but I think it might be it might not be named correctly because this is definitely the Scott Parker. That's because that man looks like he is a 1920s British, royal airman. Definitely uses proper English and, mm-hmm. you know, he eats salad with the salad fork for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get a,
when you, that's, see, that feels like an insult when you say it that way.
not if you go to Oxford, it doesn't.
An award for one for the manager and one for a player. but both that are just like the best off-field partying story. Oh. So like it'll be like the Big Sam Pint of Wine Award and the Mario Balotelli Fireworks Award.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Oh, it's the Vardy Party Award.
Or Vardy Party Award. Vardy Party. Every year we get something like that. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yep. Yep. All right. So we got the Big Sam Pint of Wine Award. We got the Vardy Party / Balotelli Fireworks Award.
Yep.
We got the John Terry Teammate of the Year for Betrayal of Confidence.
Yep.
We've got the Luis Suarez / Sergio Ramos Fair Play Award for Unfair Play.
Yep.
I was about to really. Scott Parker.
Scott Parker.
Yeah. Salad Fork Award.
Fork Eating Award.
Yeah. Fucking Salad Eater.
Mr. Manners.
Anything else here?
Scott Parker Finishing School Award.
I love that.
I think that's it.
Those are good.
Did somebody take notes?
Yeah.
Who's keeping minutes?
Yeah. Hopefully we write this down so we can revisit.
Yeah.
Maybe Raymond will remind us at the end of the season.
Yeah. Please do, Raymond. This is excellent.
And we won't read the email until time of recording. So we'll have to just come up with nominees immediately.
The response will be as bad as this was.
Well, I'm going to just be throughout the year. I'm going to be just emailing you guys or texting you guys, you know, like articles like this is definitely in the running for Salad Fork Award.
I love it. I just picture Scott Parker in the team cafeteria being like, how am I supposed to eat my salad with one fork? This fork is meant for my entree.
Just wait until he gets dessert.
No, he brings his own. He like pulls it out of the jacket pocket.
He keeps it chilled in his tiny refrigerator.
He's got a little two-prong fork for his shrimp cocktail.
Oh my God. Incredible. All right. Next email from Kevin. He says, a lot of people are talking about Leeds being a good second team to root for this year. What other teams do you root for as a second team? Kevin likes Wolves as a good option here. Any others? You know, this could be Premier League. This could be MLS. Could be international. I'm going to just throw this out for any second team that you pull for. Colin, you got any?
I mean, mine is certainly Leeds, so I'm on board with Kevin here. But I think there are a few. It's always surprised me, honestly, that more people who are Premier League fans don't have Leicester as their second team. I feel like they're very likable, fairly successful as far as, if most people's favorite team is a top six team, and if you want another team to root for, you're not going to pick another top six team, but, Leicester is still a team that wins and has basically likable guys and stuff like that. So, yeah, I like Leicester. But then I think, as we dig deeper, it's like you're talking about, you can be in any league. There are tons of teams that I really like, but basically never get to watch because I don't watch, deep games in La Liga enough to watch Eibar. Like, I think that's, their story is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I would love to go see a game there, but it's hard to pick a second team where you're never going to watch them play. So kind of keep my second teams in the Premier League for that reason.
Dan Palmer.
Yeah. I mean, I think Wolves is probably is a great shout. They're a relatively young team. They're fun to watch. Adama Traore is just a freak of nature and really fun to watch him play. And they're, they attack and they play good football. So I like Wolves as my second team. I enjoy watching Wolves. So I'll second Kevin's suggestion.
This for me is rotating. It's the same. We talked last week about teams that you hate and how that seems to like have rotated over the last few years, but the kind of second favorite team or like teams I kind of like or have a soft spot for that rotates also definitely. I agree, Wolves and Leeds at the current time, but it has been Southampton, Crystal Palace, So it just changes. It rotates.
Yeah.
I've always had a soft spot for Newcastle.
Yeah.
Seems like a cool club. I mean, obviously a kind of shitty situation right now. Yeah. With the owner, like huge stadium. It just feels like there's not a lot going on up in Newcastle other than
really passionate team. Following. Yeah.
Just cool uniforms. So I've always liked them.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, good set of emails there. We'll be tracking those awards. If there's other awards that we should be considering, please email us soccerthread@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Moving on to Premier League results. Colin, we got to start at the top of the table.
Yeah. I mean, Colin's we'll Everton there. Corner.
Yeah, baby. I mean, we're top of the league, number one. We're never going to lose again. I look forward, very much look forward to us winning the Champions League next year. It's great. Everything's great. My hope meter is on infinity. Wow. Yeah. What else is there to say? Dominic Calvert-Lewin, can't believe he's not in the, you know, in the England team. They're probably going to win a World Cup with him as striker. So all is good.
I mean, I am so just shocked by this amount of hope. Like, you're not even going to like temper it a little bit.
You know, we'll see how we match up with the other top of the table team, Crystal Palace, next week. You know, it's possible that we could, you know, draw that game on our way to the title. But no, I mean, of course, I that's not how I really feel. We look great. We got pretty lucky in this one that Gibbs made a very, very silly mistake in, you know, sending himself off, basically. Before that, we were not great. Carlo said that he was happy with the attacking and not the defending in this game, which is an okay way to be against West Brom because they don't have a lot going forward. So, you know, they basically didn't punish us very well for kind of defending poorly. But, I mean, James, Richarlison, and Calvert-Lewin look like a really strong front three right now that works together really well. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of hope. I almost did my apology to apologize to Carlo for not having hope. But Josie was just a better shout. So yeah, the hope is very high, but I don't actually think like, whatever, we're going to win a league or something. No.
Merseyside derby in about a month could be, you know, two undefeated teams, 6-pointer to help decide the title early on. I think after Everton win that game, then you can really let the train go off the rails.
The train will be fully off the rails at that point. Like, I will be podcasting completely in the nude. It'll be just drunk 24/7 if that happens. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still thinking about that Merseyside derby that's in a month. I'm still thinking, oh, I hope we don't lose that by multiple goals. Like, it'll be bad for our confidence if we lose it by multiple goals. So just want to compete with the top teams right now. Showed we could do that against Spurs, and we beat a bad team in West Brom. So that's, you know, we're doing well, but we're not on top of the world.
A previous Timbers head coach used to say, we try to keep our highs low and our lows high. Like, just maintain stability, you know, don't take your wins too seriously, don't take your losses too seriously.
Yeah.
I love that you're going for high highs and low lows.
Yeah, just peaks and valleys. Peaks and I'm a valleys. Fan.
I mean, experience all that life has for
you. Doesn't give
you
this very often, so you got to soak it up when you can. And I am definitely soaking it up.
Two games into the season.
Yeah, exactly. We got two wins in a row. They happened to be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they don't give you that very often, Palmer. You don't know what it's like, man.
Two wins against two just like really great teams.
Hey,
what's
backhanded there from Palmer? Don't be salty.
Spurs setting league records this week, and they couldn't score against us. Come on,
that's true.
What's the catalyst of everything? Is it the manager kind of getting his talons into it and figuring it out? Is it really just James's presence? Is it what makes things tick?
I mean, I think James is a huge part of it, and I think part of it is finding the right role for Richarlison. He's a really talented player. I think people that don't watch as much of him kind of underrate him probably, or maybe don't understand him. But even though in this game he didn't score and he maybe had like but one assist, two assists, a lot is due to his abilities. He's kind of a unique skill set, I think, as kind of like a bully type winger.
Are we talking about Richarlison or Darlington Nagbe? I got confused.
But Richarlison, like, yeah, Nagbe, he only does certain things, right? And over the last 2 years, we've played him in all kinds of roles where we're asking him to do things that he's not great at, like playing as an out-and-out number nine he's not great at. So now that he's not doing that, or even really playing as a true striker, he is really tough for a lot of other teams. And I think whether he ends up with 20 goals this year or not, I think he will end up being the, player of the season for Everton.
I love just the complete 180 that has happened with Everton. And it's really unfortunate that the last pod was the season preview, because I mean, it was doom and gloom.
Mike Samuelson level shit.
You were way against Thomas. I think the commentary on Richarlison was like, he's shit.
it's so great.
No, I'm here for it. I love it. I'm here for that hope.
I was definitely not on the James train like I am now.
Yeah.
But Richarlison has always been he's always been this player, right? Like, I think that, you know, coming from Watford, we knew kind of more what he was going to be like how he'd fit in.
Just say it.
But James, yes.
Square peg, square hole. Like, come on.
Square peg, square hole. Yep.
Anyone out there playing Decore, this square peg, square hole Decore, drinking game, obviously, take a drink.
Yeah. Decore has been really good, and he's a guy who, like, at the end of his time at Watford, wasn't starting every week. So, you know, in the preview pod, I was like, you know, it's nice to have him. Our current midfield is soft. He's a guy who's not soft. That's great and everything, but like, a guy who's not starting for Watford every week necessarily, is he really going to make that much of a difference? And quite frankly, has. So
Colin, can I ask you, given the start, what do you see now? Like, I think at the beginning of the season, are you still in like they're going to finish 10th, or given their start, do you see them moving up?
I mean, I still see them as 7th to 10th.
Okay.
Like, I don't think that it's, I think it's great when we start fast and we don't have to fire the manager in December because we're scared of going down. Those are nice years.
You
right?
don't
like
you don't need to bring in that's what we'll get. Big Sam.
Yeah, we don't have to bring in Big Sam this year. Good. Like, that's a good year. So I'm happy about that. But do I think that kind of like I've said this, I know I've said this about West Ham in season previews before, but like, okay, we signed all these guys, and it's kind of what I said in the Everton preview this year that got lost. Like, we signed all these guys, like, does that really change who we are as a team or as a club, like what our ambitions are? And it's like, basically no.
I feel like I have to kind of disagree with you here. Like, I feel like you have some really good players, like you're saying, playing in the spots that they should be playing, and you have, I think, probably one of your best managers that you've had in a long time at the club. So
ever, maybe,
like,
yeah,
this like idea of like the ambition of the club should be mid table or seventh, given the players that they have and the manager that's able to do a job and proven to be able to do a job at a big club. I feel like 10 or 7, like anywhere there would almost be a failure for the season.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it depends a lot on what happens around us in a way. Like, we've had different years in the past 5 years or so with like how many of the big six teams kind of implode.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you time that right, right, and you have a good year and a few of them implode and Wolves aren't that good this year or whatever, yeah, we could nip fourth or fifth.
And but you stay healthy, I think.
You stay healthy, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, Arsenal's off to a good start. They are definitely a team that, you know, you could have imagined imploding. Like Liverpool and City, I don't think are going to do that. So I think those, like the ceiling, it's hard for me to put a ceiling that's higher than a big six club who's having a good year.
I like it. There's the tempered hope meter. I like it. I appreciate that one.
I mean, Manchester City, 0 points so far. So that's something.
Yeah. Yep.
But no goals conceded. Shit.
No goals conceded. True. True.
But I do think Everton has like a similar amount of talent as like an Arsenal. You know, Arsenal has some really strong players, but also some like very questionable players. And I feel like that's pretty similar to Everton.
I think that's interesting. Fair. I think that's fair.
I mean, that might be true. They have a lot more money in transfer fees that they leave on the bench every week. I'll say that.
Palmer, your Spurs coming back. I mean, five goals, enough to get an apology out of you. I mean, this is, what a week.
Big week for Spurs. We're not even going to talk about the Bale move yet, huh? I mean,
let's start with the result. And,
Transfers now.
Yeah, can you even get into this team?
I mean, I hate this team.
Super sub.
I think, you know, this is great. I think the biggest concern for me right now is our defense. We're giving up some really kind of bad goals, poor marking. I don't think that we have our center backs figured out. Dyer at center back, I feel like, is probably not the best solution. Obviously, Toby's going to be in there. Wasn't in there today. But then, you know, I think this is the trend in Mourinho teams, right? They start the season off gangbusters. They score a lot of goals. This is one game, right? Son with four goals today. Harry Kane with all of the assists. Like, that looks like it's a partnership that could be great. But we'll see how Mourinho figures out to mess that one up.
Break it up. Bring in Bale. Break that shit up.
Did you see what Mourinho did during the interview at the end of the game?
No.
So Son, four goals. Incredible. Obviously named player of the game.
Yep.
He's being interviewed. Mourinho just comes in, says, Harry Kane, player of the game. Walks away.
As Son was being interviewed?
Yep. Yep.
Oh my God. That's exactly like, what is he doing? Just like enjoy it a little bit. Just allow players to enjoy it a little bit. But the question is like, how does Bale fit in? You know, Kane and Son seem to have like this great connection right now. How is Bale going to come in and like make that work? Dele Alli was not even in the team today. So here we go. Here we go. This team. I like Colin has amazing amounts of hope for Everton. I'm really excited to see Bale come back. I think that that's a pretty cool story. At least it's fun narrative. But one game does not make a great team. And we gave up the first goal today. And so,
you know, if you're going to score five, you can give up a goal or two here or there. I love that you're talking about Son and Kane like they're 19 and 18 year olds that have played three games together and have some budding partnership.
But honestly, today, I feel like they've not connected like this in a game that I've seen. Like, it's either Son is usually doing something kind of all by himself, like he's having those long runs, or, you know, Kane is poaching goals, or Kane is creating on his own. So them creating together is something that I feel like some of the runs that I saw from Kane today off the ball to get Son open spots Kane to get the ball and then to play it to Son is something I feel like I've not really seen in this team before. So for me, it's a little surprising.
It's been a long time, at least.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time since it looked like a team effort.
Yeah, yeah. And so they seem to be working really well together. I thought Ndombele in the middle of the park today was really good, which is exciting to see him, to see Mourinho give him a shot. So there's some bright spots, but again, we know the path of Mourinho. So
where does Bale fit into this team?
I have no idea. That's the question. I have no idea. That's what I was thinking about this morning. It's like, where, so who do we sacrifice to get Bale in the team? And who'd we start?
We're calling Lucas Moura washed up last week.
Well, right. So I think that that's the spot, right? So we started Lucas Moura, Kane, and Son as our three attackers. So Bale in Moura's spot probably would make the most sense, but.
And Dele just never plays again.
Where does Dele go? Like, can we offload Dele and get some money? I don't think that I don't know how we're going to make money off of that. It's definitely interesting. And given that we know how, good at man management is Mourinho is, it should make for some great narrative.
There you go.
I don't know. Bale started his career as a defender. You need help at center back. Just get him in there.
Ben Davies not a great kid.
All of a sudden, Greg Berhalter is managing Spurs for
the paciest center back in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited, though. I'm definitely excited to see Bale back in a Spurs kit for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Leeds love scoring goals. They also love 4-3 games. 4-3 with a win this week over Fulham. I mean, if this isn't your second team this year, what are you doing?
Amazing stuff.
Do you even like soccer?
Amazing stuff. Just on brand. I mean, this was predicted, right? They're going to score a lot of goals. They're going to give up a lot of goals.
Is this the first good prediction we've ever made?
It might be.
Also, I feel like the fact that they, like, this is probably the easiest game of the year, right? Like, Leeds at home to Fulham, like, and they squeaked out a 4-3 win. Like, that doesn't project well for them, maybe. But, like, if they were ever going to keep a clean sheet, you think maybe it'd be this week? Going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun ride.
It's 3 points, Colin.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they were up 4-1, and I was texting Kevin and Colin. I was just like, unbelievable. I can't believe it. And then they promptly give up two goals to make it 4-3, and there's still, what, like 15 minutes left in the game? It was just like, oh, my God. They do not change the way they play. They do not change. There is no...
And Bielsa just looks so... like wrecked with nerves on the sideline. Like, that man takes it so seriously. Oh, he is just live every second. He is just like in a bad place at the end of a game like that.
Can I make a Bielsa prediction?
Yes.
Yeah. Give it to me.
When he leaves Leeds, he will go to the best league where you can smoke cigarettes on the sideline. And that will be his next job.
Well, that would be Italy, I think.
He just looks like he needs a cigarette so bad while he's out there.
So badly.
Yeah.
Just more mate.
Colin, you liked Helder Costa's first goal?
Yeah, Helder Costa's, his first goal is a corner, or just maybe a cross that goes past everybody, and he's like sitting off the back post, and I think he takes a touch first, but then just does the I have no angle, let me smash this really hard move, and it goes in off the bottom of the crossbar, which from the angle like that is just like the best looking goal for me. Like, first of all, I love the I have no angle, let me smash this as hard as, like, whatever, slap shot from 6 feet away move. But then also off the bottom of the crossbar, I just love that goal. Just love that goal.
Very nice. Anything else here? So Leeds, 2 games in, 7 goals for, 7 against. It's just great. That's great.
Yeah, baby.
Manchester United, terrible. Lost to Crystal Palace. Zaha, very good in this one. I didn't see it, but United, that's not great for them.
It's not a great scoreline. From text from my brother, it sounded like... what's Bruno? Fernandez wasn't great. Pogba wasn't great. Devin, my brother, said that Lindelof needs to not be in the team. So crisis at United already.
Love it. Another reason for all of us to feel optimistic about our own teams.
It's great. Arsenal with a win, as Colin mentioned, they are joint top of the table with 6 points and a 6-goal goal differential. A 2-1 win this week over West Ham. Not a great performance, though. Felt like a draw a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like it could have gone either way for me. And they scored the last one in like the 85th. I think they're, and West Ham had tons of chances to win it. Kind of like the opposite of what we were saying about Leeds Liverpool last week, where, you know, when it was tied, it never felt like Leeds was going to steal the victory. Here, right. It felt like West Ham might. But yeah, that Saka for Arsenal is keeping Pepe out of the team, I think, right now. And basically just like, he looks really good. He was played the like unlocking pass in both of their goals. Both their goals look really similar, with like, I think maybe both were to Aubameyang. I can't remember exactly, but he plays the ball that gets past the back four, like on the ground, you know, through the back four and gets two guys in behind basically. So that's not where I thought their creativity was going to come from this year. So if you're an Arsenal fan, that's the one thing to be optimistic about basically, is that you got a young guy, who's really producing, but lucky to take 3 points here.
The paper game of the week was Liverpool Chelsea.
But no one could watch it.
Which no one could watch.
Jesus. I mean, NBC.
Interesting marketing decision.
What are you doing?
2020. 52-30, weird year, whatever it was.
57-30.
Yeah, there it is. Liverpool with a 2-0 win. Christensen with a red card in the right at the tail end of the first half, and then after that, Liverpool really, there was no mistake to be made. Mane with 2 goals in 4 minutes, and Chelsea desperately need Christian Pulisic in the team.
I would say that's true.
Yeah, I think it just shows, you know, we were kind of hyping up Chelsea at the beginning of the year, but they're still not quite at the level of a Liverpool or a City. Kepa with like a disastrous clearance right to Mane 6 yards from goal, and it's just a player bereft of confidence.
Yeah, looking like one of the worst signings in recent memory right now.
Yep.
There was, I mean, whatever, when he was signed a couple years ago, he was supposed to be like the next De Gea, the next right? Like all these kind of comparisons. He's at least right now like really, really in a bad run of form.
I mean, I feel like much as De Gea over the past few years has introduced just blunders into his game, like Kepa is just the accelerated De Gea. Like we talk about Jose Mourinho just being on an accelerated schedule. That's just Kepa. He's just become, you know, the 29-year-old De Gea at like age 23 or whatever he is.
He's 25, but also the thing about him is he cost 80 million euros.
Right.
Like,
wild.
That is so much for a keeper.
That's silly.
Just puts massive expectations. Maybe that's the problem. But, you know, if you're spending that, you expect to get a top three keeper in the world, not a guy who can barely hold on to a starting spot at this point.
So this got me thinking about keepers in the Premier League and like some of the big name guys. And I'm not even sure actually like who's legitimately good anymore and who's just on their name still. So, Mike, let me give a little roundup. I'm going to name a name. You tell me if these keepers are good or not anymore.
Can't wait. I'm uniquely good or unqualified fraud for this.
Kepa.
Not good.
De Gea?
Mediocre.
Yeah. Thank you, Palmer.
Sorry, Mike.
So,
no, I appreciate it.
Isn't he like every year Manchester United's player of the season?
Well, I mean, yeah, but like, let's think about the year. Think about the seasons that United has had recently.
I kind of think that maybe he's not doing that well because he's not constantly linked away from Manchester United, and Manchester United haven't been great.
Like,
if he was really good, it seems like you just hear more about him. You kind of forget that he's just chilling at United.
Yeah.
Allison.
I think Allison's good.
I agree.
Hugo Lloris.
Not as good as Allison, but pretty good.
Not as good as
him. Pretty good.
Not as good as he once was.
Not good at all.
A blunder. Speaking of blunder machines.
Yeah.
But that's what he's been on. That's his brand. Like, he's always been that.
It's not and a good brand. It's
well, I mean, then he's not good. I mean,
for a goalkeeper,
it's because you don't like that high brand. Variance. I mean, it's not a good brand.
I mean,
like a high variance striker,
World Cup winner. You know, like
I would say, he mess up in that final too? I mean, yes, World Cup
he
winner.
He had his on-brand blunder, you know, but like
it helps settle the team. Okay, Hugo's doing his thing.
His blunders are not blunders of like should have made the save blunder. His blunder is, I think that I can play with my feet and I'm going to do what Kepa did today.
Mental things.
Yeah. And like, he's like, make
I
a
created
bad pass.
A goal for the other team out of nothing. Like, right. A good brand.
Okay. So you have always been in the Lloris's shit goalkeeper category. So, I mean,
yeah,
we're not going to change
I'm always in the camp of, yeah, I'm always in the camp of keepers should hoof it out more.
Yeah, very, that's a very English, I eat my salad with a salad fork.
No, that's an English, I have a pint of wine sitting here next to my microphone.
Colin, who are like your top three keepers in the Premier League right now?
Wait, I'm Mike. Who's hosting this? I'm not done with my
hijacking
list.
It. New year, baby.
Don't worry, Colin can talk about this one. Jordan Pickford, is he good?
Not as good as a lot of people think he is.
He hoofs the ball.
Blunders. He almost hoofed the ball like directly to a West Brom player within 20 seconds of the game starting yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So mediocre? Right.
Mediocre.
Kasper Schmeichel.
I think he's good.
I do too. Mainly because of his name, but...
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't watch a lot of Leicester. Fine. He was amazing when they won the title 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Is he still that good? I don't know. I honestly just don't know.
I don't think he's a blunder machine. So I think you could say not great, but better than mediocre. Consistent. He's just consistent.
How do you guys feel?
Like, you know what you're going to get.
How do you guys feel about Leto? Is that his name? Leno? The guy from Arsenal?
Yeah, Brent Leno.
Arsenal. Yeah.
Bad.
Bad Mike.
Bad.
Watch your spot, Dan. Watch the throne, baby. I'm coming.
Hey, I like it. You gotta fight for your place in this team.
I only get frisky during a midday pod when I'm fully awake. Late night pods, I'm basically asleep.
Leno, again, I'm not sure if he's great, but he seems to certainly be better than the like cast of characters that Arsenal had come through since Cech left. And he's at least settled down the spot. You don't hear a lot of chatter anymore about like the Arsenal goalkeeping situation. So, you know, maybe in that sense, it's kind of Schmeichel-esque, just like it's settled. It's consistent. You know, even if it's maybe replacement level, that's better than a high variance keeper.
Yeah. I've always thought it was pretty good, but I don't know what I'm talking about. So
do any of us? all right, Mike, you want to rank the top three in the league then? I think we've discussed probably all the notable ones.
I mean, I guess I don't think we mentioned Ederson, but I'll just say it's Ederson,
true. Rui Patricio,
Allison, Schmeichel. Is that right, guys? I feel like this is a quiz now.
I think that's fair. I would say
he's been shaky recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe just one blunder.
I think Allison, I think is the top, and I think there's like a next category below that everyone else kind of falls into. I think Allison has been the best. I think he's been and he's also been like the most important, one of the most important additions to his team. That I just feel like that. You know, we talk about David De Gea getting player of the year for United. I think a goalkeeper can be an important part of the team, but like not a huge piece, and that was a huge piece that Liverpool was missing to their success. So
yeah.
I think Alisson is like top tier, and then everything else we like drop down a level, like a significant level, where, you know, you do have Ederson, but then Ederson is kind of he has been prone to kind of make blunders, especially not really like shot stopping issues. It's more just like trying to play with your feet, like we say with Lloris, or even issue today was Kepa trying to play with his feet. So it's just like the change in the type of goalkeeper that, you know, the game now needs. Some of these guys are getting left behind. That. Yeah, and some of them are getting left behind because maybe they're not as good at it as like other players or other goalkeepers. So
I just like to give a shout here. What you just explained there made me think of Matt Ryan for Brighton. He's been their keeper for the past, whatever, 4 or 5 years while they've made this run of staying up. And I think he's a well above average keeper. And I think that's a big reason why they haven't been down, is if you're a kind of relegation struggler and you have a below average keeper, you can start shipping goals pretty fast.
Yeah.
And him being a rock back there has kept them up. So maybe not in the same league as some of those kind of elite keepers. Like, you don't hear about Matt Ryan like getting a move to a big club or anything. But I think he's, definitely an above average keeper in the Premier League.
Matty Ice.
Love it. Anything else in the Premier League that I've been looking forward to that goalkeeper chat all morning since I thought of it. Excellent. Do we want to go to MLS? Should we save it?
I'd say save it. Your boy's got to get some planning done. I got to work.
I'm very, very happy with this podcast.
Very happy. Very, very happy.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thanks, Cliff.
You know, keep your eyes on the Twitter feed for a picture of a mini beer fridge.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
It's going to break the internet.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff. Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Cool. Check. Plosives. Bad audio. Recording from my phone. EOD's nuts.
Ooh, baby. I like it like that.
Get comfortable in this closet. Recording in the closet.
Mike is behind the eight ball here.
Can you see my whole body? Can you see my whole body? You can see half of my body.
A foot guy. Good outtakes never die.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week in the Soccer Thread Podcast. Welcome to another week.
Extra outtakes. Extra outtakes.
It's catnip for your boy.
3-2-1. Sandy BM. Sandy BM, 5-4-3-2-1.
Welcome to Inside the Podcast.
New fridge.
Shana Tova, motherfuckers.
And I apologize that his best is just not that good.
He's a tool.
It's not a good brand. It's...
Just because you don't like that brand doesn't mean it's not a good brand.
Who's hosting this? I'm not done with my listing.
I'm hijacking it. New year, baby. I only get frisky during a midday pod when I'm fully awake.